We're in Daniel chapter 2, and if you weren't here last week, or even if you were, you probably forgot. Daniel is probably the most insane book in the whole Bible. I know when we think about like crazy books, we think, what book?
Revelation.
It's like got all the future-y stuff. But actually, Daniel is the craziest book, and a lot of Revelation is explaining Daniel, which is pretty crazy, huh? And it gets trippy towards the end of the book. But we're in Daniel chapter 2. Anybody remember what happened last week? What? Hey! I will dogpile all you twins.
What? This isn't my toy.
I can't hear B-goos. Yeah. I apologize. I'm going to kick him right now. Try one more time. Yeah, that's it. All right, wait. I need to ask beforehand. Do we have any vegetarians here today? Lie. Have you even eaten a vegetable ever?
Yes.
Be honest.
Yes.
What? Name it.
Broccoli.
You've eaten broccoli.
I love broccoli.
Have you seen him eat broccoli?
I don't like broccoli.
That's a lie. I knew it. Sister ratted him out.
Broccoli.
You like broccoli?
I love broccoli.
You know who else likes broccoli?
I do.
Eleazar, my tortoise. Big fan of broccoli.
Yay.
That's crazy.
I know. Whoa, look at that. He is a smart tortoise. Alright, so last week, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they became vegetarians and were like, dude, you guys are idiots, but then they became like super buff, handsome guys. That's what the Bible says, not me. But I probably would have thought they were handsome too. So then they earned all this respect, right? And then it said like God said that they're the wisest ones of everybody in the world and blah, blah, blah. So the king, what's his name? Nebuchadnezzar. Do you guys know about this dude?
Yeah.
What do you guys know about this guy? He invaded their land, right? And he went, he took over and he killed all like the men, women, and children. And he like burned them and like filleted them and stuff like that. It was pretty brutal. And then he took like the smartest, handsomest, buffest people and brought them as prisoners, right? And that's like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What else do you know about him? No. That's in the cartoon. VeggieTales? Is that VeggieTales? I've never seen VeggieTales. Whoa! I'm just kidding! I'm just kidding! I watch it all the time! I'm sorry. Wow. 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 Wait, hold on. Pause. Time out. Has anybody else, like, not ever seen VeggieTales? Thank you and thank you. We're starting a club. Thank you! Wait, hold on, hold on! Hold on. You'll notice that it was the two smartest, best-looking, buffest guys in the whole room. I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. Alright, so, dude, this Nebuchadnezzar guy was brutal. Here's some of the things that he did. This is like coming down through church history and just like history in general. This guy, he did this one time. He took the kings of Judah and he took the sons and he killed the sons right in front of their dad. So imagine like being a dad, right? And this guy is just like, you know, he's like chopping off the fingers of your kids and then like cutting off the nose. And then he's like, dude, these lips look pretty sweet on my, you know, mantle. So he like cut the lips off and then he just like decapitated them, right? And you're a dad and you're watching all this. You're like, dude, Nebuchadnezzar, you are not cool. But then not only that, but right after he kills the kids, he cuts out the dad's eyes. And so the last thing he ever sees is all of this, like, his kids being, like, killed, right? And then he has no eyes and he has to live with, like, no eyes. So that sucks in and of itself, right? So this is Nebuchadnezzar, right? Another thing that I read that he did, and this is pretty brutal, too. Have you ever been to Hawaii, anybody? All right, well, hold on. Leave your hand up. Leave your hand up if you've been to Hawaii. All right. Anybody ever go to a luau?
No.
Yes.
And I ate pig.
You ate pig?
Good.
How did they cook the pig?
They had no fire. They roll it.
Uh-huh. And they did what?
And they
danced. Oh, yeah, yeah. So they take this pig, right? And they take it up on the second story, and they have this pole that they stick straight up, and they just take it, and they go, shoo. And the pig just goes, you know, the pole, and the, I won't give you the whole visual, but you know where the pole goes, and it comes, like, straight through the pig, you know what I'm saying? And then they put it on these sticks, and there's a fire, and it just spins around, right? It's got the apple in its mouth, you know what I'm saying? See on the cartoons and stuff? But it's, like, spinning around the fire, and it's just cooking it, right? This fool Nebuchadnezzar did that to people. I'm serious. Can you believe, can you imagine, time out. Let me see that. Come here. Yeah, throw that up here. Watch your head. Throw it. Throw it. Just throw it. Throw it. All right, imagine this, right? Only it's like a little bit longer than you. You know what I'm saying? And then it just kind of like goes through you. I mean, through you. And so you're still alive, like, when this happens, right? And then they kind of, like, carry you around by it, and then they put you on the sticks, and there's a fire underneath you, and they just spin you. Which, I mean, dude, not only do you have a pole going through you, but they're spinning you. Like, I'm going to get sick. I'm going to start throwing up. I'm going to get dizzy, you know? But then not only are you have a pole through you, and you're going to get sick and dizzy and, like, throw up, but then, I spit right there. Did you see that? Spray zone. There's a fire going on, and it's just cooking you until you die. And that's just a brutal way of dying. So this is Nebuchadnezzar, right? Here he is. Now check it out. This is going to tell you a little bit more about him and how brutal he is. This is in Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 1. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. I told you guys this last week, right? I never, ever, ever remember having dreams. And like dreams like freak me out. People will tell me they have a dream about, you know, whatever. Like, you guys know Andrea Bronstein, any of you?
Yeah.
She has the weirdest dreams out of anybody. I'm pretty sure she makes them up. I don't know, man. But weird dreams, and dreams like freak me out because I've never really dreamt. The only dream I ever remember having, I was kind of like in this half awake, half asleep thing. The dream was this. It was a gun, like a pistol, and it shot me right through my stomach, and I went like this, and I looked down, and I was bleeding everywhere, and then I kind of like, I was like half awake, half asleep, you know, and then I like woke up, and was like in so much pain, I thought I was going to die, and it was like right before my appendix erupted, and that was the only dream I ever remember having. So, any other dream, like that's my only experience with dreams, and then people tell me these weird things, and I'm like, that would be freaky, and then I watch Alice in Wonderland. That freaks me out like no other, and dreams creep me out. So this guy, he's having dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever." Impossible. "Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." That seems fair, right? That's their job. You tell them the dream, they interpret it. But check this out, verse 5. The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces, and your house is turned into piles of rubble. Your house is turned into rubber. It's going to be crazy." That would be kind of fun, like a rubber house. You know what? A rubber youth room would be the funnest thing. I'll pray about that one. Verse 6. Then when you guys are bouncing off the walls, it won't hurt so much. But all right, verse 6. "But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more, they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it." And he said, the king answered, "You're not getting it. I'm certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there's just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." Now check it out. This is the king. This is the most powerful guy in the world. And you know, I hear these stories. This is not out of my experience at all, because I'm not like famous or like cool. We talked about this earlier. I can't pull off like any belt like she can, just wearing a belt, even though it's not holding her pants up or anything. She's just wearing it because it's cool, right? So I'm not like that, and so I don't know. But I hear that once you, you know, get famous, like movie stars and stuff, you can't ever really know, like, who your friends are, who's just trying to, like, schmooze you, you know, to get something. And so this king, Nebuchadnezzar, he's like, you guys, I think, are just trying to, like, schmooze me to get close to me so you can get power and, like, money and stuff. So if you guys are really magicians, if you really know and can interpret these dreams, why don't you tell me what my dream is before I say anything about it? And they're like, oh, no, just tell us and we'll tell you what it means. He's like, no, tell me what the dream was. Verse 10, the astrologers answered the king, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Now check this out. You're Daniel, right? You're chilling in your own like neck of the woods or whatever, and you're like, yeah, I'm wise and buff and good-looking, and I only eat vegetables because I'm a pansy also. So you're Daniel, and then all of a sudden some dude comes and knocks on your door, and he's like, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to kill you right now. So when you step outside, so we're going to get blood on the carpet. Daniel's like, whoa. Like, what's going on? He's like, well, so there's these like wise guys, and they wouldn't tell the king what his dream was. And so he said that everybody who's smart in the whole kingdom has to die. That's what happened right there. So verse 14, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He urged them to plead for mercy from God, from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. So Daniel finds out, I'm going to have to die because these guys are idiots, and they can't tell the king what his dream is. So he's like, dude, just give me like a day, and let me go talk to my buddies. So He leaves the king, and he goes back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he's like, guys, dude, we're about to die. Can we, like, get together and just, like, say, hey, God, like, we're about to die, and we're, like, prisoners here, and we're all too good-looking to die, so can you please tell us, like, what the deal is with this dream so that we don't have to die and, you know, our incredibly chiseled features and stunning abs will remain. So they get together and they pray, and then Daniel goes to sleep and he has his dream, and the dream was like, hey, this is Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And so then they're like, yeah, woohoo. Verse 24. I don't know why I didn't write the Bible, because I feel like my version's a lot easier sometimes. Yeah, it is probably blasphemy. Apologize, God. And everybody listening to the podcast. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him. Now check it out. Hold on. We need to get this straight. All right, so this is Nebuchadnezzar, dude who, like, grilled, like, roasted some dude on, like, a, what do you call those things? A spit? Really? That is awesome. So he roasted some dude on a spit. He, like, killed these sons in front of his dad. And then the last thing he saw was that, because he poked out his eyes. And, like, this is the king. He, like, took over all of Israel and then killed everybody except for, like, the really good-looking, smart guys and took them as prisoners. This is this king, right? And he's putting everybody to death. And he's saying, if you don't tell me what my dream is and then also what it means, everybody who's smart in all of Babylon is going to die. basically. And Daniel is going to this king to tell him what his dream means. This is crazy. I think I'd be pretty nervous. Arioch, verse 25. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, also called, what is it? What? What? It's what? Yeah, okay. Good, I'm glad you got that. Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, now check this out. This is Daniel's reply, right? No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. He's like, no, what you are asking, he's saying the exact same thing as the magician, right? What you are asking is impossible. Nobody on this whole planet can do that. You are being ridiculous. Now, he's saying this to the king who could, like, kill him instantly, right? He's saying, you're being ridiculous. Nobody can do that. But, verse 28, there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. Now's where it starts to get a little weird. He starts to talk about his dream. As you were laying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Now here's the dream. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue. An enormous and dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. Probably look like Brian Kastner. Yeah, that probably... Can you, like, come here, stand right here, because we need, like, a visual. I'm serious. Because you're going to, like, match up with this, like, really well. Alright, so, enormous. A little too enormous. Dazzling. Let's see that, like, ching, you know, right there. Awesome in appearance. Huh? I told you. All right, stay here because it gets even better. The head of the statue was made of pure gold. Huh? It's kind of goldenish. All right. Now, hold on. Its chest and arms of silver. Let's see those biceps. Yeah, those are silverish. I don't know. Its belly and thighs of bronze. Let's see those thighs. No, just kidding. Put them away. Its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. Which is spot on. Spot on. That's awesome. All right, so there's a statue that's basically Brian Kastner, right? Dazzling, awesome in appearance, something else, enormous. All right, now check it out. While you were watching this gorgeous statue, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. You make that happen for us? No? Okay. You can sit down if you'd like. Or you can stay here. Either way. It's up to you. I know everybody else would like to see you up here, but I'd like to see you there so I could see you. Because you're dazzling in appearance. Verse 35. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces. At the same time, it became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer, which is like just really thin, fine particles that the wind like blows away. I jumped the gun. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Now check it out. To me, this is like crazy, right? Okay, so there's this dream, and it's like the king, and he's like checking out this statue. It's got this golden head and like silver like chest and arms, and then what, like bronze stomach and thighs and like iron legs and iron and clay feet. It's just like this weird statue thing, right? And then this rock that gets cut out of this mountain, right? But not by like people. It just like magically happens. It comes flying out of nowhere, like dodgeball, right? And so this like God with like the dodgeball ball in his hand, the statue's there, and so he like flings it and it hits him on his feet, which means he's out for sure, so he like crumbles and blows up into a million pieces. And then this rock, the dodgeball rock that God threw, it like landed on the ground and then it like just started like growing into like this huge mountain. And that was the dream. And it kind of freaks me out. Anybody had a dream like that before? Really? Dude. Was Brian Kessner in it? He was. I knew it. I knew it. Verse 37. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you domain and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. You are the head of gold. All right, so the head of gold is King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, his kingdom. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with the clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. Okay, Daniel, you're on crack or something. Dude, you're like interpreting this dream and it's like these kingdoms and blah, blah, blah. Alright, so there's some speculation on what these kingdoms are. I think most people think that the kingdoms are the head of gold would be Nebuchadnezzar, the chest and arms, I think, Persia, and then the torso and thighs would be Greece, and then the iron would be like the Roman Empire, right? And then, well, we'll get back to that in a second. So this is what like most people think. I think it doesn't really matter because it's not really the point. For us. For them, it was the point. For us, not really. 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Then Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate. I just have to make sure I say that one right, because prostate is a very different thing. You know what prostrate means? Anybody? No? Prostrate? Yeah. Yeah, it's like laying with your face down to the ground. So the king, right? Everybody normally bows down to the king that way. So the king bows down before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all the wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. All right, so this is a story, right? And this is this like crazy thing where the king starts to go psycho and he's like, "Somebody tell me what I dreamed because I think you're all pulling my chain." And nobody could do it. And then they find Daniel. And Daniel's like, "I might be able to do it." So he goes with his buddies. He's like, "We should pray about this." So they all pray together. Then Daniel goes back to the king. And he's like, "Hey, God revealed it to me. Nobody could do it, but God could do it because he's God." And so he says, "Here's your dream. You had the statue. It had a head of gold, arms and chest of silver, you know, stomach and thighs of bronze and feet of iron and clay and all this stuff. And here's what it means. There's all these kingdoms. And you're like the head of gold. But then there's some ones that are quite as powerful, but then there's this rock, dodgeball rock, that God throws and it destroys the whole statue. Then it grows into this huge mountain, and Nebuchadnezzar's like, "Whoa, you're like crazy because you told me the dream and then you interpreted it, and I'm the head of gold, so that's pretty awesome. And yeah, you're in charge of everything." So like that's the story, right? Oh my gosh. This is like this crazy story. So we have these four kingdoms and this rock. So what's the deal with the rock? Somebody help me out with this. Let's just go ahead and assume that the head of gold is Nebuchadnezzar. We already know that. Let's assume that it's Persia and then Greece and then Rome. Let's just go ahead and assume that. That's what most people think anyways. So we have that. And then there's the rock, right, that God flings at the statue. What's the rock? Yep. Jesus. See what I did there? I asked the answer that everybody knows the answer to when you're at church. Jesus. Okay. So God, takes Jesus and he, wads him up a new ball and he throws it at the statue, right? And then he, obliterates the statue with Jesus' noggin and then he starts growing into a mountain. What's going on here? Let me help me out. Yeah. If you got your Bible, check this out. Mark. Check this out. Mark chapter 1. This is in the book of Mark. This is the very first thing that Jesus says. Mark is probably 93% of the way through your Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's right in the middle there. Mark chapter 1 in verse 14. After John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Now check this out. Verse 15. Here's what Jesus said. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. The rock, right? So what's going on during this time? So the New Testament happens in and around Israel and Jerusalem. But who's really in charge there? Anybody know? Who's running the government? Huh? The Roman Empire, right? So that's what we kind of think is probably the feet of iron / clay. Yeah, way to go, kings. Woo! Nice. So Rome is in charge, right? And all of a sudden, Jesus is watered up and he's thrown into Mary's womb. And then she gives birth. And then it's Jesus. And the first thing he says in the book of Mark is, the kingdom of God is near. It's coming. God threw me as the dodgeball at the statue. And pretty shortly after, is the Roman Empire still around anywhere?
No.
Not really. No. That would be false. No. It's not. But what happened to the kingdom of God? It started to grow, right? And it grew, and there's these it was Jesus, right? And then it was Jesus and his disciples. Then it was Jesus and his disciples and some other people. Then it was Jesus, his disciples, some other people, and then these churches that started to spring up. Then it was Jesus, his disciples, some other people, the churches started to spring up, and then they started sending missionaries out, and there was more. And then it was Jesus, his disciples, other people, churches, and missionaries, and the missionaries started spreading it all over the world, and now the church, Big C Church, which is the church over the whole world, is getting to be this huge mountain, right? So this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had is this prophecy of dodgeball Jesus coming in and setting up a kingdom that's not going to ever go away. And a lot of people, since Jesus has been here, a lot of people have tried to obliterate Christians and kind of kick them off the planet, saying you guys are idiots, and some of us are. So there's that. But it's still around, and it's still growing, and it's still alive and kicking. Now, that's pretty cool, okay? So this happened before Jesus came. This was all written down then. We have copies of it that are dated from before when Jesus was here. And so, that's cool. But what does this have to do with us, really? Anybody got any ideas? You know, almost every week here, I'll pray and I, to open us or to close us, and I'll say, hey, God, you know, thanks for letting us meet. I pray that you would speak to us today and help us to leave here a little bit changed and understanding who you are a little bit more, right? Almost every week I pray that. So, what's changed? Here's what I think this story in Daniel has to say to us. Actually, for the first six chapters of Daniel, here's what I think one of the big overarching messages is. If you want to see God do something, anything, big, small, two things need to happen. One, you gotta pray to God and say, even if it's not like a prayer, it's just like you being honest with God and you standing in your room and saying, God, feels like you're not there. God, I've like checked out all this like book stuff. There's all these arguments against you. God, I just, you know, somebody in my family has just died and it feels like you're not there. You just let it happen. Or God, I haven't felt you in a long time. I need to see you, right? This is what Daniel did. The guy came to him and says, you have to die because everybody's an idiot. Nobody can tell the king what his dream is, right? And he says, hold on a second. Give me a day. I need to go talk to my buddies. And what did they do? They went and they said, God, so the king's going to kill us because nobody can tell him his dream. Could you like help us out with that a little bit? And they went to God and they were honest with God and said, hey, we don't really want to die, so can you help us out? And what did God do? God answered that prayer. And I believe, and I think this is very true, that any time you come to God honestly and say, God, I'm not sure if you're there. To be honest with you, I'm not sure if you exist. Or to be honest with you, I know you exist, but I'm just not sure if you care. Let me know if you're there. Let me know if you care. That rhymed. That was an accident. Or was it? It was. That's the first thing that needs to happen. The second thing that needs to happen, and this is something that I think is extra important for you guys here tonight. I think both of these points are extra important because I think you guys have it in you to do some like crazy stuff. There's a lot of hurt in this world. You guys see it all over the place. There's a lot of people who can't support themselves. There's a lot of people who are in slavery. Do you guys know that there's more slaves today than there has been ever in the history of mankind? Today. And we feel like in our country, hey, slavery was kind of like abolished in like what, the 50s or 60s or whenever that was. And there's no slavery anymore, and woohoo, big victory. But around the world, there's more slaves today than ever before. We do the 30-hour famine, right? We're raising money for all of these kids that are hungry and just don't have food or don't have water. There's all these people with AIDS. There's all these people dying of malaria because they keep getting bit by mosquitoes that carry it. And just a $5 mosquito net keeps that from happening. And there's all of these things that are going on in our world, not to mention the homeless people that we see on university, not to mention just the pain in our own lives, the pain in our own families. And what happens in this story? Daniel sees this injustice going on. And he goes to God and says, God, hey, this is going on. Help me be able to do something about it. And he steps out. This story doesn't happen, and everything else after it doesn't happen if Daniel is not willing to lose his neck. He's going before the most powerful guy in the whole entire world and saying, hey, your request is a little bit foolish. Nobody on earth can do it, but there's a God who can do it. And when you're talking to your friends, when you're talking to your family, when you're talking to somebody who's hurting, to be honest with you, there's not a whole lot we can do except for be there, show them that we love them, and say, you know what? I'm pretty weak on my own. I can't really do a whole lot to change a whole lot. But there's a God who cares about you more than I ever could. There's a God who is powerful enough to fix these problems. If you believe that, you know, the crazy thing about the Bible, right, is written so long ago. It's all these weird stories. You know, there's plenty more weird stories that come in Daniel, and they seem kind of out there and not really. But if you believe it, the Bible teaches that God doesn't change. The way He dealt with people then is the way He deals with people now. And the same God that does these crazy things, like gives Daniel a dream that somebody else had, the one who shuts the mouths of the lions and Daniel and the lions in, the one who lets Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go into the furnace and come out unburned, not even smelling like smoke, none of their hair was even burned. The same God who did that stuff then can do that stuff now. And I honestly believe that God wants to do that kind of, those kinds of things through you guys. And we get so comfortable here in our homes. We're all so rich. We all have so much stuff. We've never really had any huge needs. I'm pretty sure none of us in here have ever been homeless. I'm pretty sure a lot of us in here have never even missed a meal because they had no choice other than they forgot their lunch. And yet there's a lot of pain in this world. There's a lot of suffering in this world. And God is a God who loves you, who loves me more than we'll ever know. God is a God who wants the best for us. And the crazy thing about being a part of the church, about being a Christian, is that God, for some weird reason, has decided that the way He wants to work through this world is through us. In Acts, it talks about when Jesus leaves, He's sending someone to us, the Holy Spirit. Most of you guys have heard of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives with you, in you. You have access to the power of God. And it's crazy. And it seems weird. It seems weird to me. And yet God wants to do crazy things in your life. God wants to do crazy things through your life. So when you get fired up about wanting to stop world hunger, don't let me, don't let your parents, don't let any other adult, don't let any of your friends tell you that you can't do anything about it. Because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and He has the power to stop world hunger. And He wants you to be a part of it. When you get fired up, when you hear about Sophia Sadio, who we sent over to Thailand, and she was in the bars trying to love these girls who were forced into sexual slavery by their families. When you hear that story, she's going to come and tell it. When you hear that story and you get fired up about it, don't let anybody tell you that you're not going to be able to make a dent in that problem. Because you have a God who is bigger than that. Learn this lesson from Daniel. He does some crazy things. And he steps into some really hard situations. And yet, God shows up. And I think the way that God did stuff back then, He can still do that today. And He does still do that today. Let's pray. And Next week we're going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And just more crazy stories. But you guys have the power to change things. All it took was four of these guys getting together. They made a huge impact. Huge. Just takes a few. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for tonight. Thanks for a chance to come together, to worship you, to hang out with you, to hang out with each other. God, thanks for this crazy story in Daniel about this nutty king and his dream and how you used Daniel to show yourself to this king. God, I pray that as we leave here, as we think about the story in Daniel, help us to see you more clearly. God, I know some of us in here are in a lot of pain and hurting a lot. God, I know some of us in here are just really confused about life, about you, about ourselves. God, I know a lot of us in here take a look at the world around us and it seems hopeless. And yet, God, give us a glimpse, just a small glimpse of how big you are. You're a lot bigger than all of these issues. And God, I pray that you would show us this week as we go about our lives. Give us little insights into just how high and how wide and how deep and how long your love for us is. And God, thank you that no matter who we are, what we've done, what we've said, where we've been, what we've thought, no matter any of that stuff, God, thank you that your love for us is constant. You will never love us any less. God, when we doubt you, you still love us. We turn our backs on you, you still love us. God, I pray that in this room right here, that you would fire up some of these high school students. You would cause them to come together and say, this is an injustice, and we were going to do something about this. God, that you would bring them together in prayer to call out to you. And God, I pray that when that happens, that you would respond. That you would do amazing things in their lives, and that you would do amazing things through their lives. God, thanks for who you are. And I pray this week as we go on about our business that we keep an eye open for you. God, be with those who couldn't make it tonight. Keep them safe wherever they're at, whatever they're doing, and bring them back to us safely on Sunday, or I guess not Sunday, but next week. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.